Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, this is the day the Lord has made. I am glad and I do rejoice in it. Praise God. I want to say, first of all, that I'm highly honored to be back once again. Hallelujah. You can tell I have to have help. Praise God. I'm highly honored once again to be back at the with my family at the house of the Lord in Austin. Praise God. I also want to say that I am blessed, honored, and surprised when my daughter and her two daughters walked in a few moments ago. Praise God. I do. Hallelujah. I am blessed, and I do have a great family. Praise God. I want you to open your Bibles with me two places as we start this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and Philippians chapter 1. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the privilege of standing once again to minister your word to those that have ears to hear. And I thank you, sir, for the honor that you've placed upon me in calling me to do this job. And I thank you, sir, for the Holy Ghost that abides on the inside of me. Yes. And Holy Spirit, I call upon you, for I know that you are the teacher of the church. And I'm asking you, sir, to rise and live big in me today, to think through my thoughts and speak through my words. Use my spirit, my soul, and my body to be a blessing to the people of God. And I say that everyone that has an ear to hear will hear what the Spirit says, and we give our word to you that we're not forgetful hearers, but we are doers of the work. Therefore, we're blessed in all of our deeds. Amen. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 6. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Praise God. For years now, I have confessed verse 7. And I have said, whenever I come to the end of my life, I will be able to say, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. And I have kept the faith.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes.
A couple of days ago, the Lord stopped me as I was reading on verse 6. And I said, for now I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Now, first of all, let me say this. All right? I'm not preaching my eulogy this morning. Praise God. I don't know a day yet. All right? I do know that I've been preaching for 55 years. Common sense will tell you I'm closer to the end than I am the beginning, all right? I'm closer now than I have ever been before in my life, all right? But I'm not preaching my eulogy. I'm not saying goodbye, and I'm not saying I won't see you again, all right? Praise God, that's not what I'm saying. But as I read this verse, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. As I read that, I began to think about my life, and I began to think about my legacy. You look right over here, you see part of my legacy.
Yes.
Amen. But I began to think about my legacy. I began to think about my life. And turn to Philippians chapter 1. In verse 21, Philippians 1:21, For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, I don't know about you, but I figured that out a long time ago, and it takes all the fear of death away. Amen?
Yeah.
To live is Christ. To die would be gain, all right? But if I live in the flesh, This is the fruit of my labor, yet what I choose, I want not. Notice verse 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all, for your furtherance and joy of faith. Now, it dawned on me one day that what Paul was saying here, he said, it's my choice. I can choose. To live is Christ. To die would be gain. To die is far better. Praise God. Hallelujah. I told Jim yesterday, as he dropped us off back at the motel, I said, I'll see you in the morning ready to turn cartwheels. And then I said, may not be able to do them, but I'll be ready. Amen. Now, you know, I realize I can't do what I used to do. I recognize that. But I also realize this, that it is my choice. I can decide when or if I leave, and I can decide when or if I stay. Well, amen? Yeah. I know I'm one decision away from being in heaven. All right. And y'all can shake your head this way, or y'all can think, what a nut. You can think whatever you want to think. You know, praise God. I want to talk to you a little bit about my life today, all right? That all right with you? I recognize I'm one decision away from being in heaven. And I'm not saying that I'm in a hurry, yet I am saying that I'm in a hurry. You understand what I'm saying? Four years, 5 months, and 12 days ago, Joanne went ahead of me. And ever since that day, I've thought, is today the day I can go? I mean, you know, it's that close to me. And yet I recognize there's something that God has and something God wants. And that is for me to live is Christ. For me to live is what he wants and what he desires out of my life. Now, I'm going to ask my daughter, Tarina, to come up here and share something with you. She was talking to me about it the other day, and I'll just tell you there's a lot of it that I don't know and couldn't tell you till she told me. But I want to ask her to come and share something with you because it goes right here in what we're saying. Is this one still on? Now it is. She told me one day, she said, Daddy, I'll do anything you ask me to do, but just please don't ever call me to stand up in front of people and talk. And it seems like ever since then I've been doing it. Praise God.
I talk to you all. You know I talk to you, but you have no idea how hard this is. I don't even remember when it was, so that doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
But we were talking about it yesterday, and I said, there was a time that he had gone down and he was real weak, and it took all we could do to get him to the bed. Just Jensie and I, and you can imagine me and Jensie getting him to the bed. But we got him there, and then he couldn't talk, and he couldn't move, he couldn't say anything, he couldn't. If you can imagine us trying to roll him up on the bed. But anyway. And I was looking at Jensie, and of course I did what I always do. I call her, call my sister and everything. I always call her. And then I went back in there and was standing next to him by the bed. And then he started trying to whisper something. And it was just barely. And I barely could get words. And finally, because I'm telling Jensie, I said, I don't know what to do, baby. I just don't know what to do. And you know, I was praying. We was both praying, but I still don't know what to do. I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to do. Then he says, I can hear just barely him get out the very softly, I choose to live. And it was so soft. I couldn't really tell for sure that's what he said. But as soon as I heard it, I looked at Jensie. I said, I know what to do now. I know what to do. And we started praying. And then in a minute, He started saying, I choose to live. I choose to live. And it kept getting louder and louder and louder. And it was, I choose to live. And then he woke up. Because when he'd get in that state, he didn't know what he was saying. He didn't know what he was doing. He don't even remember it. He didn't remember until I'm telling him about it. But yet, I told him, I said, what's in here, what's coming out here, whether you knew it or not. Yeah. And so that's what we were talking about. And then, you know, of course, then a little while later, she shows up, then Desiree shows up. I think Shelby was in wherever, Branson. She was in Branson at the time, living there. And Zach shows up. Everybody's there whenever he comes to, and he's thinking, why is everybody here? And I'm thinking, well, because we didn't know what was going on. But whatever was in there came out there, whether he was aware of it or not. And then it happened.
So, praise God.
There you go.
Thank you, baby. Praise God. Hallelujah. As she shared that with me a couple of days ago, I said, be prepared. I'll probably want you to share that with the house of the Lord on Sunday. Praise God. You and I don't realize the choices that we have. I mean, we don't fully understand. We don't recognize what God has made available to us. God has made all of the power and the strength and the ability of heaven available to us. As it is in heaven, so shall it be on this earth. I mean, God has made it all available to us. And we have choices that we can make. Now, I recognize there's some people that say, well, you know, doesn't really matter what you do. God's will is going to come to pass anyway. And I think, okay, I won't say what I think. But they say, you know, you don't have to do anything, you don't have to say anything, you don't have to act anything, God's will is going to be done, and they come up with any bad thing that happens, they say, well, that was God's will. And of course, we don't believe that. But we also recognize that there are choices that we make in our life. Amen. So as I was thinking about my life, looking back over my life, I thought of a saying that the Jewish people have. Jewish boys all study the Torah up until they're about 12 years old. And then at that time, the rabbi picks the best of the best and says, follow me and I'll train you. And they have this saying, walking in the dust of their rabbi. Now, implication being they're so close following him that as he walked, the dust stirs up, settles upon them, and, you know, walking in the dust of the rabbi. We'd say walking in my shadow. We might say something different. But they say walking in the dust of the rabbi. And they would walk in the dust of their rabbi until he had trained them and developed them into such a point that they could go and produce the job of a rabbi themselves. Do the job of a rabbi themselves. Now, this was things that was right, yet there were some things of tradition that was involved in it because they picked the best of the best. Now, I don't know who decides who the best of the best is, but whoever it was, you know, they picked the best of the best. Jesus came along, and he didn't pick the best of the best. Now, you know, there was some of them that was educated. There was some of them that was, you know, one thing and another that looked like they were something in the natural. But there's a whole bunch of them that didn't look like there was anything. It looked like, what you got here? I mean, you, every one of you, if you're honest, will admit when God told you what he wants you to do, you'd think, me? Who, me? That's what you want me to do? And Jesus chose those that the world didn't necessarily think was the best, but he picked them, and he said, follow me, or he could have said, walk in my dust. Praise God. Stay with me. Be close enough with me until I train you to be what you're supposed to be. All right, can you agree with me up to this point? Do this way a little bit, then I know you're still awake at least. Praise God. When I got born again, I was 19 years old when I got born again, and then I got filled with the Holy Spirit. And my pastor was a man named L.M. Mosley. You may or may not have ever heard of it, doesn't matter. But he was a man that was the pastor of the church where I was attending. This man was different than any man I had ever known before. Because this man not only preached, he demonstrated, he lived, he was what he preached. Now, when God called me, he said, I want you to teach my people faith and train ministers. And I look back at my life sometimes and I think, God, did I miss it? I mean, should I have started a Bible school? Should I have this? Should I do that? Whatever. And then God begins to reveal this to me. Brother Mosley, I followed him and walked in his dust, if you will, until I became fully persuaded or totally convinced of three things. Now, that's not all I learned from him, so don't misunderstand me. But I became fully convinced and persuaded of three things. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Verse number 9, Paul says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Those things which you have learned and received and heard and seen, do. Praise God. Now, Brother Mosley was the first man that ever demonstrated those things in such a way to me that I wanted to do what he was doing. You understand what I'm saying? You follow me? There's a difference between just learning. Many people learn, but you also have to receive. There's a lot of people that know more than what they're doing. There's a lot of people that have been, that have knowledge. I won't say that. There's a lot of people that have not. I'm in Austin. I can say it. No, I won't. Praise God. There are people that have learned, but they've never received. You sat under Pastor Jim's ministry and you learn, but you know you also have to receive, not just learn, but receive. And he said, learn and receive and heard. Praise God. Without hearing, there is no faith. Amen? We have to hear. That's a choice we make. I have learned and received because that was a choice I made. I have heard because that's a choice I made. Some people come to service and they're watching the clock thinking, when's this going to be over so I can get out of here and beat somebody to the lunch counter or whatever they may be thinking. But those that, have you ever thought about what it would have been like to listen to Jesus? I mean, there's places that are recorded where he taught all day long. There's places that's recorded where he taught all night long. I promise you, I'm not going to teach you, keep you till, what is it, 11:40? I'm not going to keep you until 11:40 tomorrow morning. I wonder how many would stay with me if I did. That's another thought. We won't go there. Praise God. But you have to, it's a choice that you have to make. But then he says, and seen in me. Brother Mosley was one that I saw something in him. I saw him teach faith, but I saw him live faith. I saw him teach healing, but I saw him demonstrate healing. I saw him teach prosperity. But I heard him teach prosperity. But I saw him demonstrate prosperity. That which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. There's a saying in the world that says, if I can remember how it goes, it says, I cannot hear what you are saying because what you are doing speaks too loud. I can't hear what you're saying because what you are doing speaks too loud. Now, until you do what you say, there's nothing actually to hear. Are you following me? You with me? Praise God. I said I choose to stay. And then I stayed. Brother Mosley taught me until I became convinced of three things. The three things that I became convinced of, number one, God is real. He didn't only preach it, he demonstrated it. He didn't only talk about it, he lived it. And I became convinced that God is real. Now, what I have discovered is I didn't think about these things until I stopped on that verse about the time of my departure being nine. I started looking back over my life and thinking about my life. I didn't recognize some of these things until I began to look back and see some of these, all right? I didn't realize that what I had done was stick so close to him until I became convinced that God is real. Now I can look back now and I can see that's what happened. I walked in his dust, if you will, until his dust settled over me, praise God, and I was trained to the point to where that I knew that God is real. Now, once I became convinced of that, nothing can make me doubt it. Are you here? Yeah. Nothing can make me doubt it. Things don't always go the way I wanted them to go. Things don't always go the way I expected them to go. I don't always feel the way I want to feel. A couple of days ago, or whenever it was, a few days ago, Brother Richard put the advertisement of our meeting being here, and he talked about Brother Tommy coming, and he had a picture of me in there. Now, I'm not normally moved by things that I see. But I look in the mirror, and I don't see that picture. That picture is a number of years old. I told Trina, or maybe she told me, I don't know, we decided, we've got to get them an up-to-date picture. For advertisement, praise God. Because I look at that picture, in case any of you is wondering, I am the guy that they advertised, irregardless of what it looks like. Praise God. But I looked at that picture, and I thought, whew, man, it'd be good if I looked like that now, but I don't, praise God. Now, anyway, but I am, irregardless of how much I look different, irregardless of how old I get, irregardless of how much I cannot do things I used to could do, I'll never forget one time Joanne just had a fit and chewed me out royally because we had moved into our first house that we had bought, the first one we had bought in Odessa, and we moved into our first house we had bought in Odessa, and in those days, refrigerated air conditioning was for the very rich. Elite, upper class, whatever you want to call it. And we had what was known as evaporative cooler. Most of you will remember that. That air come through the filters that were wet and it cooled the air off and it blew into your house. And it was a lot better than just not having any. All right? But they used to would put that up on top of the house whenever they called central air. They would put that up on top of the house, and it would blow from there into every room in the house. So we moved into this house, and It did not have an air conditioner on it. And so we got one. And it was a huge one. You remember how big the computers used to have to be in order to do anything? Refrigerated air conditioners used to have to be huge to do any good, especially if you was going to run it into every room in your house. And we got one, and it was sitting in our backyard, and it needed to be up on the roof, and I didn't have anybody to help me. So I said, I've always been, if I couldn't pick something up by myself, I would get some assistance. That doesn't necessarily mean another man to help me. That could mean getting a strap to put on it where I could put it over my shoulder and then pick it up. Well, what I did was I got some rope and ran it through that air conditioner and pulled it up over my shoulders, and Joanne caught me about almost to the top of the ladder. And she liked to pass out. She, Tommy Dale, what are you doing? Well, I said, putting the air conditioner up. Leave me alone. I wasn't going to stop right there. I was almost to the top of the ladder, and I walked on up on there and put it on and, you know, and fixed it and all that. I realize I can't do that now. Amen. In fact, the other day, there was a light bulb that needed to be changed. I said, I'll change it. They said, Tarina and Gingy both said, you're not climbing that ladder. Okay? I used to tell them what to do. Now, it's, you know, things have changed. Praise God. Hallelujah. And irregardless of how things look different, or I may be different, or I may feel different, or anything else, I am still convinced God is real. Yes. And nothing can make me doubt that. The second thing I became convinced of, God can do anything. Yes. Now, you know, it's a blessing to be in a church where you see all kinds of miracles happen. Yes. And they don't just tell you about them, but you see them happen. And you think, God can do anything. Wow. And you become convinced of that. And once you have been covered with the dust, or once you have been trained, or once it has become something that is a part of you, you no longer can doubt it. There may be something that doesn't work like you thought it was going to work. I sat my girls down right after Joanne moved to heaven. I sat them down and said, this doesn't change the fact that God is real. And this doesn't change the fact that God can do anything. I don't know why she chose to go ahead and go now, but it doesn't change the fact that God is real and God can do anything. And we've seen far too many miracles over the past 50 some odd years to even doubt that. Right. All right? So then the third thing I learned was God will lead you by His Spirit. Yes. Praise God. Now, I became convinced of those three things. Romans 4:21 says, being fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able also to perform. I became fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able to perform. And once I became fully persuaded that what He had promised, He was able to perform, I can't doubt that anymore. Now, if you're one of the ones that still says, I'm not sure, then you haven't yet got fully persuaded. Right. Amen? When you walk in the dust of your teacher, now recognize, I'm not only talking about ones that stand at the pulpit. I happen to be one that's called to stand at the pulpit. Not everybody's called to stand at the pulpit. God has placed us in the body as He chose for us to be. But there are teachers in every area of the body. I used to have a difficult time because I wondered why people wouldn't just do what I did. Hallelujah. And finally I realized that what I did was what God told me to do, and it might not be what God told them to do. And so then that's not, I can train someone how to be in the ministry, how to go into the ministry, how to stay in the ministry. I can train that, but I can't train somebody how to do other things. Hallelujah. A preacher asked me one day, he said, how do you go about dating? And I thought, I don't know. If you need counseling on how to date, I ain't him. I don't know how to date. You've all heard me say, I asked Joanne,